of plans and things. Everything that's hidden comes out eventually. Now, we have a listener here. Caller, I didn't get your name. Are you there? Welcome to the Amber Show.
Hi, it's John.
Oh, hey, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, you know, okay for the circumstances, although, you know, we're falling to the tyranny of failures to communicate, I suppose. I don't want to sound like a smart ass or a know-it-all, but there are really simple principles of freedom that aren't being expressed by American will. And we can look at things complicated, or we can get things really, really simple so everybody understands. You know, the banks don't cover the loan, and it's so simple that people just don't comprehend it. They don't understand it. Like, when they run out, for example, with Indy Bank, you know, if they're lending out $1 million to buy a house, they don't have to cover that initial $1 million. You've got to pay them back for it. And that's where all... So, they're saying, well, the FBI is investigating if there's fraud. The whole system is a fraud. These guys just... A couple of friends of Greenspan is reporting on Frontline have more than $1 trillion in their personal holdings. And the reason they say, you know, like a... with Bear Stearns, or they got $77 trillion in derivatives. That's all a scam. It's all because they don't have to cover the loan. They can, you know, they make money on all the whole thing is a fraud. If it was honest, the bank would be covering the loan, and the depositors would be the shareholders. But in your case, and in everybody's case on the face of the planet, with the exception of Iraq, as it was prior to the invasion, and Iran, and perhaps Syria, in those countries, the depositor is the shareholder, and any profits that the bank earns goes to the people who actually truly own shares. But in your case, the shareholders are top. Well, you got two tiers of shareholders. You got the basic shareholders, which everybody kind of knows a little bit about, but they have a second tier, and those are all the top secret people. And the reason they keep it top secret is they don't want you to understand they're putting in nothing, not a single penny, and all they get is billions and billions of dollars in payments that people are making. And why it's the whole fraud is that you, as the American citizen, cover the initial loan. So you guys are now you're going to be bailing them out, and it's crazy. You can't bail them out. They need to be paying back the money that they defrauded from the public. But people don't have an ability to communicate it on a national level for challenge. Like, I'd like to challenge all of it.
Hey, John, sorry, that's not just for a minute, because we're going to break, and we'll be right back. The Amber Show. The call is
800-319-4439
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you want to continue
to that off? Yeah, well, I'll just say that there has to be, it would seem, if we're going to sort this stuff out, there has to be a public educational campaign that might last an hour on, national or international television so somebody could explain this to everybody so we all could understand. And I don't see that happening anytime soon because, of course, these people are extremely powerful, having so much money, starting wars and sacrificing their kids irrationally. But as I started to say at the initiation of the call, that a lot of this stuff is so simple that people don't believe it, and that's part of our suffering, is that it is so simple. Like, justice, for justice, as an example, with the Bill of Rights, you need evidence to form a guilty verdict. If you have no evidence against the accused, that person is innocent. Now, that isn't, it's a function of reason. So if you have no evidence, the guy's not guilty. I don't care what you say or how good, successfully you demonize him. If you don't follow the crime scene lead to the real murder scene, the true evildoers are going to escape red-handed or covered in blood, as it is in 9/11. I mean, we know specifically from the FBI, the terrorist atrocity was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad, and the FBI is just following the lead of the crime scene. They're saying this guy sent money to the hijackers in wire transfers, and they used that money to get on the planes and kill you all. But this guy isn't arrested. Instead, Bush just tells you Bin Laden did it, and we have to, and just as the example is, what we have to accept Bin Laden somehow snuck into the building to set the explosives, of which we have evidence clearly indicating this is the case. It was a military explosive called Thermite, and you analyze the dust at the scene, and it's sulfur present, and we can see on the videotape of liquefied iron flowing like water from the towers just immediately before their imminent collapse. So we know that that's what that explosive was. But nobody's following that crime scene lead. Instead, Bush steals your right as a free citizen and demands if you don't believe in him, irrationally, really. You've got no ability to form your own mind. But if you don't believe in his pronouncements on who is guilty and who is innocent, you're a terrorist. And that's wrong.
No country in the world has a situation that they have a top area where all the brains and significant information is stored, and where all of the military information goes in and out of to protect this government. No government of the world will allow that to be compromised. And no government of the world will let, you know, planes, knowingly, you know, their planes are off the Richter scale, they have alerted and stuff that might pose a threat to the population.
Mm-hmm.
No government of the world, no world leader will have allowed that to go on. Those planes would have either been shot down. There would have been other planes there to try to guide it down. And it would not have happened the way that it happened. And that alone, that by itself was enough for this government to open a huge investigation on why it was a huge security breach on 9/11. And that alone would open up the reason why these things ended up where we are now. In addition, in regards to the buildings, there were huge security breaches on that weekend. There was a situation that people were allowed in the building. There was no electric, no security system whatsoever the week before. It's all covered. It's been eventful documents. And again, nobody has opened an investigation of why there was a huge security breach in this country. And it doesn't matter who's been modern. And again, if you have a guy that is pictured in the stand somewhere over in the Middle East, he doesn't have the laundering capability. He doesn't have the capability or the stuff to do this by himself. So again, there were people here that were involved in this government and basically allowed them to get let them go.
Well, if they really didn't own the car industry, the car industry would have cars that got 200 miles a gallon. It's like you go to Canada, and because the Canadians refuse to pay more money for their cars, the same car here as the same car in Canada is $3,000 less in general. And so you have these systems of where some people will vent sometimes, like the 1939 Depression. We had no money. We were bankrupt. But then all of a sudden, after the Depression, the government turns around and says, oh, we're going to make the people go to work and everything else. They built the entire infrastructure of roads, railroads, energy system, water systems, flood control. Where are my money going from?
Well, just like during the Depression, there were guys out there during the 30s Depression. They had money. There were people that never ever got knocked down from that Depression thing. And they'll talk about it. And you know, currently, as you know, we're talking before, you know, you had folks out here, Greenspan, a lot of them, they made a lot of money. There's a lot of people that made money off those hedge funds and those derivatives. I mean, huge amounts of money. I was talking to somebody the other day, programmers, all their jobs out of Silicon Valley and various things, they went over to India. So, you know, and those can't work. So, you know, we have the infrastructure in the United States that we've sold out everything. Everything's gone. And we used to have a model back in the day, you know, buy American, you know, get American cars, buy American. It was on, you know, everything we had here. And then we got into whatever system we're in right now. We're not thinking about buying our country's goods. We ship it out. We have nothing to replace it. And we're in disparity, just like Germany was during World War II. And it's not going to get better until we wake up. If you don't have a judicial system and process to fight anything, then you don't have anything. You have anarchy. And then we're trying to create high hockey out here. You know, again, they just put this guy in, Weissman, whatever his name is. He's the top police officer for Chicago. He's also over at Homeland Security. They have Blackwater in over here. They just brought the Minutemen in just a few weeks ago. So what are they planning for this area? And again, I talked to a lady. I was going to have her on the show this week, and I didn't know, you know, whether or not it was going to come on this week or not. She was talking about the fact of John and John, they have social security benefits, or, you know, really. Can you live on that? And then you have individuals out here. This was a woman, and she's losing all her teeth. And she was talking about how people are so unhealthy because their teeth, when they teeth fall, it's basically causes huge health problems. But, you know, the social programs they have, they don't do anything with your teeth. And that Medicaid they have in Illinois, that system is totally messed up. I mean, if you go to the hospital, folks, and you're in an emergency, and you want to get medication, you have to wait maybe 2 or 3 weeks for approval to Medicaid state office, and then they might come back and deny you of life treatment medication that's given to you by emergency doctors. So, you know, what is that? And you don't have to go to a private free healthcare system. If you can't band-aid and fix this one, what do you think the next one's going to be better if you don't consciously understand the needs of the people on the ground?
Would that, Dan?
Yeah,
well, that's for sure. That's what I see as the problem everywhere. Medicare, a lot of people don't understand. You have CEOs of HMOs who are practical billionaires. They're not doctors. They're not nurses. Yet you're being tasked to cure somebody of some ailment, and yet it's just going to pure profit for somebody who is exploiting your weakness. Just as you said, unfortunately, like I'm trying not to insult Americans, but I'm just telling you, most people don't understand what's going on. In other countries, I'm not saying our system is better. I guess it's an ego problem, too. I'm not saying our country is better necessarily, but we don't have a middleman there taking all the cash. So we only spend half as much and get twice as much coverage. Now, does that make us, well, I don't know. But anyway, and with Social Security, you only get 2% on your $1 trillion deposit. In addition to that, Bush took more than $700 billion out of those accounts. There's a couple facts that nobody understands. You're getting only 2% on a $1 trillion deposit, but back to the original point on all the evidence, who knows, it doesn't really mean anything. The point I was trying to make on that is that by Bush obstructing justice, by Bush not allowing an investigation to continue to arrest the actual evildoers, he's undermining freedom for every single American, including every soldier. So you cannot find one single soldier, one single police officer, or citizen in the entire nation that will speak publicly on a national format to go, oh yeah, I support letting the bad guys go. And we know that the bad guy who financed it, as according to the FBI, was also the same exact individual, General Mahmoud Ahmad, who went to the Taliban to say no evidence is going to be brought against the accused. And we're quoting investigations, as was reported on Tim Russert, the late Tim Russert, to Tom Daschle, who received anthrax in the mail. Tom Daschle told us immediately Bush and Cheney worked to close outstanding criminal inquiries to complete the task of nabbing the actual bad guy. So what soldier, what citizen is going to say, yeah, that's your opinion, John. I think different. Nobody's going to say that. Censorship is the tool of tyranny. They make us think that when we say, like, yeah, and I heard you say it yourself, and it's something that everybody should consider. When we say, well, they're going to implement this, they're going to bring in soldiers onto the streets to battle the crime in the streets. So the thing is, not enough police officers, but just that, who's they? And why are they not being specifically challenged by CNN, by CBC here in Canada, or on your national radio station? They're not taking our calls. So I think that if we want a revolution or thing about freedom for the individual, we got to demand open debate. Now, I'm encouraging all your listeners to pick up their phones and do likewise, to say, hey, we want to talk about 9/11. We want to talk about Afghanistan. I mean, they're bringing in heroin. They admit, the soldiers admit, they're defending heroin poppy fields with Muslim fundamentalists who kill Christians because they don't want to be shot at. But you get to dope in your street and get served in the, if it's a third felony in California, you're going to prison possibly for 25 years.
But then again, this folks out there, they were clearly involved with September 11th, and they let them go within maybe a couple years of lockdown, and let them viably begin another business in the same arena.
That's crazy.
And said, you know, folks, who are being goodly played? And again, you know, just like John's saying, if you don't have a good press form, good press, And the people are not interested in allowing the people to talk on that forum. This is when the tyranny opens into this horrible beat and is able to take over the reign of a country or a civilization. Because again, you know, if you have just people that are multi-billionaires that control everything,
mm-hmm.
I mean, your newspapers, your radio, your television, everything you look at and see is controlled by people that have vested, huge amounts of vested interest in selling you products and goods and not really caring about you and what you want. But around you to say, hey, you know, I would like to see this change. Or back in the day, they used to have rebuttal time. They don't have rebuttals anymore. They don't even offer that up. It's their opinion, it's not yours. You have no opinion. We'll be back right after this. Great callers, 800-213-9443. I do have an opinion with me, so please call in. Talk to you later.
Live, it's your show. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. Take a CAI toll-free line for you and AT&T here with you. And Mark, 800-259-9231. Again, live Saturday edition. You bring up anything. Join us online at freetalklive.com. Coming up, we'll talk about one of the worst presidents of all time, Abraham Lincoln.
But first, you go to your phone.
Go ahead, defend that statement.
You're going to have to defend it, Mark. You're the expert.
But we'll get to it here. John, first in Canada. You're up.
Hello, gentlemen. Hi, how's it going?
What's on your mind?
Well, you know, boy, I'm hoping I can work this Abraham Lincoln thing into this. But, you know, as maybe one of the voices out here, similar to myself, who hear you guys talking about liberty And we witnessed, you know, America's falling into tyranny through failures of understanding just the basics of what justice is in a free society. So you were saying that there are gangsters in government. It's hard to deny that is a fact. And people are brought to believe that they can't defend themselves. But why wouldn't you say, or maybe perhaps you guys can clear this up for me, and I'd love to have a discussion. You guys do support fair elections, right? So why wouldn't you stand in
government?
Right. Well, whatever government it is, why wouldn't you support the?
I don't support government.
So you don't support democratic elections in any way?
No, I don't support people ruling over my life. If I want to hire somebody to tell me how to live my life, I should be free to do that. So if I would like to hire someone to control me and contract for that, then that's fine. But I don't consent to have other people rule over my life.
Well, what if somebody victimizes yourself, steals your house?
Well, that would be the government, right? They steal houses.
Well, so do private mercenary forces that you're suggesting people should hire on your own. We have principles. This is what liberty and freedom is that you aren't aware of. That there are principles that all people share. Nobody wants to be murdered, for example. Like, that's number one.
There you go. I would say that I'm the small government guy here next to my no government friend with whom I share a microphone every day of the week.
Okay.
but you know, when you think about police who are probably a legitimate if there is such a thing, legitimate role of government.
Right. Got to have them some way.
They sort of came from, you know, palace guards and soldiers. I mean, that's
yeah.
Where they evolved from.
Right.
And don't police, just like their soldier counterparts, really protect the state and not really protect the individual?
Oh, absolutely. Well, but the thing is that the state needs to be a reflection of the self. That is, like, if a police officer...
How's that possible?
Well, here, I'll give you an example. If a police officer goes out and beats up a woman on videotape, that police officer needs to be treated as a citizen of that society and needs to be charged with, you know, maybe attempted murder or... Pardon me?
But that doesn't happen.
Right, and that's the lacking... That's not freedom. If you sit back and say...
Well, you're one of those people that says you just need to elect the right people.
No.
Work right.
No, I'm saying that the person who is elected needs to be fairly fairly there. We have, in New Hampshire, the election was rigged, according to the Boston Globe, and I don't know if you guys have put in 5 seconds.
Okay, as long as the elections are fair, it's okay if a despot is elected.
Well, no, not a despot, but like Ron Paul would have won that election if we would have counted the ballots, according to the Boston Globe and the evidence that they've brought forward. But Ron Paul or his spokesman spoke that he wouldn't.
I haven't seen anything like that. I mean, they did a recount here, and it was off by, like, 0.05%.
Well, you're not aware. The Boston Globe, they provided evidence that showed what they did is they reversed McCain's tally with Ron Paul. And when Ron Paul...
What are you going to wave a magic wand, John?
No.
Try to fix the election?
No.
Get the society you're looking for.
No. I wanted Ron Paul to be the actual elected representative, but his spokesman said that they wouldn't. Pardon me?
I'm asking you, what are you going to do about it? You've got a lot of complaints about the electoral process, but you're saying all you need to do is just clean it up, and how are you going to go about that?
Well, first of all, you'd have to arrest those who are responsible for rigging the election, so you'd have to first acknowledge that it's
on their side. Yeah, the politicians are the ones who decide who gets arrested.
Well, yeah, you have to understand what laws are. Most police officers do their job because they say...
Their words on paper,
well, you know, it depends. Like, you know, we have crimes that take, like, the doctrine of the National Intelligence Estimate. Like, it's on paper that Bush is your ruler, unthinkingly, without evidence to form your own mind. But somebody at the FBI provided Americans the fact that they doctored the National Intelligence Estimate. So Bush was caught lying, and it's a CIA officer who spoke out and said, look, he's lying to you, telling you...
Caught lying again. I mean, they are politicians. They never held accountable, never will be.
But here's the thing. It's accountable. You can't find a police officer or a CIA officer who in public will say, I don't care if Bush is lying. You're going to die as a victim to tyranny. They can only do it in the shadows, denying ourselves an opportunity to defend ourselves with free speech. So if you had a national program or anything, even a national news program, you go, yeah, this Bush has committed an act of high treason. He's conned Congress, misleading the American people into a needless conflict while closing investigations on 9/11, according to the FBI.
You're on 40 stations right now. What's that going to do? Saying that, oh, a politician has told a lie. He's a bad, bad man.
But he's caused the death of many sons and daughters. There's all those families out there.
Sure he has.
Right.
Every politician in every war sends out the sons, our son, you know, the sons and daughters of the proletariat as we are.
Right.
You know, the working class.
Yeah.
Send out their sons and daughters to fight and die.
Right.
I'm with you. I would prefer to see a much, much, much smaller government, and I want to see the politicians fight their wars and
by themselves.
At Raymond James Stadium and
both Buck Knight. Oh, for sure. I mean, I believe in that too. I'm actually trying in some ways to. I don't know. I like martial arts a lot, and I'd like to face people in the ring that support Bush in any issue. If you support Bush for anything, I'll take you in the ring, and I'll beat you senseless, because I believe in God, and the other person believes in lies and deception. It isn't so much that I want to hurt anybody. It's that I want the public to understand that there are principles we all share.
That will prove to nobody, nothing.
Well, no, the brothers... Well, no.
Haven't proved anything.
Well, here, I'll give you the things about the dead sons and daughters. It's their brothers and sisters who are still living today who go, my son was almost murdered, or essentially murdered. Like, he was conned to believe something that wasn't true, as Bush...
John, the history of government has been tyranny and oppression...
And revolution. And revolution.
And governments have been responsible for the killing of millions of innocent lives around the world in just the 20th century alone. What is it you're proposing to change here? Because, I mean, you've got a lot of critiques,
right,
which are quite valid,
right,
but I don't understand what you plan on doing about it.
Well, the first plan of action is that you have to understand that to mete out justice, you have to have evidence to form your conclusion, and that's what a courtroom is. You know, if somebody's accused of a criminal offense...
...in favor of the state, the courtroom is run by the government, okay,
well,
in favor of the government.
Well, let me just finish the answer, and then you can comment. Like, okay, so we all can recognize that, no matter what your political philosophy might be. So now Bush has been reported by Glenn Greenwald in one of his articles that, I can't remember the title, but it's like, American citizens can now be arrested without evidence, indefinitely held in military breaks. And, well, that is an act of treason against every American citizen breathing. You're saying that you're... My point is that it's in your authority that tyranny is going to be exercised.
What do you want me to do? Go and arrest the president? You want to go...
Well, to understand, not a single soldier, not a single police officer, not a single man or woman or child is going to stand in the defense of that. It's only censorship. It's only in darkness that we fear. We go, there's probably a lot of guys out there...
When you say the soldiers aren't going to stand in defense of what?
Taking an American without any evidence and blaming him for a crime while you close investigations and the real evil guys get away scot-free. Like, that's what the Constitution says, with probable cause and everything else.
They've done it, and they did it with Padilla.
Right.
And they held him for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. And they tortured a whole bunch of people, and Catter was shot in the back. But the fact is, I'm saying...
Wait, story you're getting, and you're running out of time here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying that it's only our failures to communicate. It's only our failures to communicate. Let's say on a national show that does anybody agree with Bush on this? I mean, the lines will go dead. Nobody will call.
I don't care if they agree or they disagree. It's a non-issue to me. I want my freedom, and I want freedom for people that want freedom for themselves.
Right.
And that's it. It doesn't involve politics.
So they don't hold
us. My process, John, and thank you for the call tonight. My process does not involve having to go and arrest politicians or beg politicians or ask politicians for favors or whatever in elections and all that other political nonsense. And I'm not going to have time for everybody. But your point is very clear. Let's move on to John in Winnipeg. John?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hi, John.
Hi, yeah, wow. I'm hoping I get an opportunity to respond to much of what Bob had said, and Mo also, when he's talking about... Pardon me?
Yes, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, when Mo was saying, you know, the truth sometimes hurts, the fundamental error in America today, in respect to your banking, is that the bank doesn't cover the loan, and you're not used to using, you're not used to that argument. It's not present in your debates in almost zero books back, hundreds of years. The thing is they don't cover the loan, so they're borrowing money to you that they didn't put a penny into. You pay them back, and they cash in continuously. No matter what happens, they're going to be cashing in, and it's understanding the mechanism of what that is, and it's not the easiest subject to understand, but the primary error that you're in is that they're not covering the loans. So that's why you have all these bad mortgages. If they don't have to cover the loan, they'll borrow $1 million to what they call a ninja, guy has no identification, no job, no income. Borrow him whatever, it doesn't matter. Borrow him $1 billion. I mean, the banks aren't being held accountable, so it just disappears, and they go, oh, we lost, sorry, oh, you're going to have to pay us back, bail us out. And they never put forward the money to begin with. They're not required to cover the loan. So that's the error that you have to address. And if you don't, it's just going to continue to eat away at your souls. But so that's the one thing. And the other thing that Bob was talking about is that soldiers have to start thinking about what they're warring for. And I don't disagree with them. That's the problem, too. I mean, soldiers take an oath to defend, God and country. And they're not doing that. I mean, Bush doesn't give you any evidence. He's committing crimes against America by not allowing you the evidence to form his guilty verdicts. You know, that Greenwald just wrote an article a couple of days ago called The Power to Imprison U.S. Citizens Without Charges. And really, if you're an American, that's a treasonous act. You're saying you have no evidence against the accused, but you're going to take him to a military brig and perhaps torture him, maybe even to death, and you're left in doubt, or you're expected to be left in doubt, and go, well, I don't know, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing. No, it's an act of treason. You need evidence to form our collective agreement on who's going to be punished in our names as the collective will. But if Bush gives you no evidence, he's directly going against anything and everything that Christ would represent. So a lot of people call him the Antichrist only because he's devaluing your rights as an equal citizen. If he says Bin Laden did 9/11, well, he better have some evidence to indicate how Bin Laden put the explosives into Building 7, for example. And instead of doing that, he closes criminal inquiries that are being conducted by the FBI, as alleged by Tom Daschle on Tim Russert's Meet the Press. And, of course, Tom Daschle had anthrax mailed to him, and Tim Russert barely passed away. But, I mean, they're not supporting justice for yourself as a concerned soldier, too. But soldiers are told, you must refuse to commit a criminal order, and yet we have way too many instances of soldiers being ordered to commit war crimes, and they just say, well, you know, I just said that, you know, that leadership is what we're missing. We need a commander of the military to go, look, we're supporting the defense of innocent people in Iraq, for example. We're going to recover all the stolen money. We're going to arrest those who are committing torture, such as Khaki, in Iraq today. A similar Egypt is another private mercenary company that brag and give us videotapes of them just randomly shooting down anybody in Iraq, women, children, anybody. They're committing acts of murder. And it shouldn't be that complicated for any soldier of any faction to say, hey, that's a crime against the free people, ourselves. And we're falling as murder victims because Americans don't support forming their conclusions by fact. Instead, Bush says, you have to support him or you're with the terrorists. And really, he's not serving anybody equitably because, of course, I know, and many of your listeners, of course, would probably be aware also, he's running from he doesn't want to get stopped in the street by a real cop who put him in jail for the rest of his life for all these treasonous actions he's committed, but particularly on 9/11 by closing investigations, there is nobody but the tyranny of censorship who will say that that's an argumentative position to take. Every American should say, that's against my rights as a free citizen in this country, and it's called obstruction of justice, and warrants some kind of a serious police investigation with the subsequent arrest to follow quickly thereafter. And if you don't do that, and you don't follow the crime scene lead, guess what? The bad guys get away scot-free, and the FBI will tell you the financing of the murder of more than 3,000 in New York City on 9/11 was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad. And guess what? He's not arrested. And we know that he financed the murder. And it's, again, the people, it's like hypnosis. People just go, oh, I don't know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Support police investigations to nab the true evildoers, and you'll do everybody a favor and save a whole bunch of people's lives. Your economy will be improved, because as soon as you understand these bankers aren't covering the loans, you'll realize, well, wait a second, that means the national debt is how much money you've borrowed to the banker, not how much the banker's borrowed to yourself. And that's a really super profound argument, but it's really easy to understand if you realize it's the Treasury Department that mints up the currency. So it's in your authority that this money is created. Then the banker says they're lending it to you. Well, no, it was created through the will of the American masses. And that debt is how much we borrowed them, not they borrowed us. So there's a lot of stuff there for your listeners to consider, and I can only beg and plead with everything I am to beg that your listeners put in more of an effort to demand open dialogue on all these questions, 9/11, Iraq, Afghanistan. You know, they're working side by side with the heroin pushers, Muslim fundamentalist crazy persons who advocate the murder of Christians because they say they don't want to get shot at. And, you know, well, what's the point then? You're pumping heroin into our streets, which still can give you a life-term prison sentence as a felony in many states, or it's a federal offense. You know, can you imagine soldiers are going, they're uncertain about what side to join. Well, they're assisting in the cultivation, production, and mass distribution of a substance that's going to put everybody in prison for life. That's slave labor wage, or no wages, right? You're a prisoner.
Sean, thanks.
All right, thank you.
For the call. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time for all these arguments.
Right.
You know, one thing that probably people don't realize.
That helps us all. Well, I just want to say, Howard, and I thank you for calling in. One of the reasons the Muslims are being attacked is because they are one of the main forces that are talking about usury.
That's right.
Yes. And that's one of the main reasons they're being attacked. And I encourage those.
And it's because those two systems are corrupt.
Yes.
Extremely corrupt.
Yes. Well, all the systems are corrupt. Even the Muslim system has been corrupt.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But I think, wait, Howard, I thank you for calling in. We have other listeners lining up on the line waiting to talk. So I thank you for calling in. John from Canada.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Hey, what a great show this is. I hope to hear more from you guys. This sounds awesome. Incredible. To reinforce some of the things you've been saying, you know, you're saying, we seem to be witnessing the corruption of all that is good. However, as you said, God is just. You know, no matter what religious background a person comes from, they'll tell you, in their own opinion, that God, of course, is just. He goes after the bad guys to defend ourselves. What we're looking for is, what are the truths that we all share as human beings? You know, and I was just reading Glenn Greenwald had just done a paper titled The Power to Imprison U.S. Citizens Without Charges, and you're probably a little bit familiar with this. Mr. Bush isn't required to form your conclusions on a person's guilt or innocence. You must go in faith with him. He doesn't formulate evidence to back up his allegations. You must accept his verdict, and if you without thinking, and if you disagree with him, you're with the terrorists. You know, he steals your right to be treated equitably as an equal citizen in a democracy or in the universe. You know, it's a demand on behalf of those that support that tyranny that you give up your rights and not speak out in the defense of an innocent other. And that's the problems that we're facing continuously, is that people don't understand. It is in God's interest to follow the crime scene leads at a real murder scene to get the for sure evildoer. If you don't do that, the bad guys are going to escape. You know, so people say, well, you got to support the president. Well, the president has got to support you, and there's rules that he is supposed to be operating under that defend the Great Republic. And, of course, Bush has just thrown just about everything he possibly could under the truck, including yourselves. Your sons and daughters are being sacrificed needlessly for a war that has no cause. There's no reason to attack Iraq. You know, so it goes on and on. So, like I say, like you're with some of Walter and some other people, they're attributing the Antichrist to be some mythological force. Antichrist, you're being anti-Christ-like. It's in Christ's interest to defend all peoples as a property of ourselves. So we're all of Christ. We're all of God. And the Muslims, you know, they might call it, they have a different take on things, so it's not really the same. But Muhammad would teach you that if you want to go to paradise, you have to treat all people equitably, and treating all people equitably is realizing and understanding that God's presence exists throughout, from Genesis through Deuteronomy. Like, that's one of his specific teachings. If you don't realize this, you're not going to paradise. It's understanding that God is of all scripture. And so there's good and bad all over, and it is interpretation. You can, you know, when a person says, oh, really? You know, in text, I can give you 1,000 definitions for those two words and what they mean. It's the intonation and inflection. It's us listening, you know, or we don't have to listen too carefully. I mean, we can hear in inflections what a person's intent is. And with Scripture, you do play a major role in deciding what its definitions are to yourself. And in the Quran, the original Quran, there is no divisions between lines. It's one continuous statement, and the fundamental teaching is this: oh, Allah. And then so you're confronted with the teaching when you start reading it, because you're the one who's saying, oh, I get that. Yeah, I understand that sentence. And it's you that is in the process of creating its meaning. So, God is just. We want evidence to form our conclusions. Bush gives you no evidence and says you're a bad guy. No, Bush is wrong. He's not serving your interest to defend your freedoms equitably. And as a consequence, I'll just add one other quick thing. You know, as a consequence, we find out if you do pursue the evidence and do rely on the justice system having one or two good guys present, as there always is, you find out that 9/11 was financed by General Lamad according to the FBI. Now, it's the FBI's position. They're not being pro or anti-Bush. They're just telling you, here's what the crime scene leads have led us to understand, that this guy financed the mass murder of more than 3,000 Americans in New York City. Guess what? He's gone unarrested because he worked with the Bush administration at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11 on their top secret invasion of Afghanistan strategy with Condoleezza Rice. That's...
These are the folks that brought us the AT&T spying on all Americans, any American they choose, under the pretense of defending democracy and freedom. I emphasize the word pretense because they are literally pretending that you, yes, you, are Al-Qaeda. How did that work? Wait, here, let's go. Michael, go ahead.
Hello, John.
Hello. Hello? Michael.
John, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I guess we're having a little bit of a communication breakdown here, but yeah, well, you know, of course, who's Al-Qaeda? We know what's going on here. We're not stupid. You know, it's just been revealed that General Mahmoud Ahmad, the guy who financed the mass murder of Americans in New York City on 9/11, met with Tommy Franks. Are you still there?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so, and Jim Nikoleszewski over at MSNBC, they finally decided to put their story back up. He initially reported in 2002, May the 14th, I think it is, that he was provided anonymously documents, top secret war strategy documents coming from Condoleezza Rice's office on how to invade Afghanistan, dated 2 days prior to 9/11. And this is the same time that the general is meeting with Bush officials in the White House discussing matters that don't concern ourselves. They tell us, you know, these guys are killing our families, murdering ourselves, demanding that we don't have an ability to communicate above their level, you know? We have a situation here where it's fully disclosed that they use no evidence as a prerequisite to secure their invasion of Afghanistan to secure a liquefied natural gas pipeline for Enron. And that's how they defeat us. It's so complicated. People go, it's too many words. Forget it. Just kill my child. It's really a little complicated, but it's not that complicated. Their intention was to provide no evidence, and this will secure invasion, because you just go, has Bin Laden over. And we're not giving you any evidence, and it was General Ahmad, the guy who finances the mass murder, is the guy who goes to the Taliban and says, no evidence will be brought against the accused, and you as a Muslim fundamentalist would be going against Allah and the American flag too, by the way, to hand him over without any way to surmise your understanding that he's guilty. So all the Taliban asked was, give us a thread of evidence indicating he's part of any terrorist attack, and we'll hand him over immediately. They said, no, we're not going to give you anything, and you don't want to go against Dowler. You hold on to him and keep asking for evidence. And that was their top-secret strategy that Jim Mikoshevsky was handed to himself anonymously. Now, they've put the story back up on their website, and now they've made it like they've removed the fact that he was provided the documents. They make it like contained in the documents themselves are this big plan to try to arrest Bin Laden, and the documents themselves are about not arresting Bin Laden. The last thing they want to do is either have the Taliban hand him over or kill him or arrest him, because their whole plan for a liquefied natural gas pipeline is going to go out the door, and they don't want to lose that.
Their whole plan for the pipeline is going out the door anyway.
Right now,
if they launch a preemptive strike on Iran right now, Russia is going to pull the trigger as well, and they're done.
But do they care? Do they care? So what? They'll kill millions of people. Does it bother them to know that more people, and children included, will die as indiscriminate killings? They're making money off of this scam. And again, you know, hey, the more war, the more money. You know, we got Egypt, or I don't know whether you were this. They're the British, I can't remember what detachment they were from, but they were British soldiers dressed up as Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They got arrested for killing police officers. They're wearing Al-Qaeda uniforms. They got a car filled with explosives. So they're killing people, making it like Al-Qaeda is killing cops in Iraq. They get arrested, and then the freedom forces break them out of prison. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I know that.
It's crazy. Well, that's a treasonous act. Who's responsible for that? That we want them arrested, tried for war crimes immediately. Who in America supports that? It's only the tyranny of censorship. It's only these people in our radio waves who deny open communications and insist that, you know, Ahmadinejad said the Holocaust never happened. We just had this on your national radio program. It's actually international radio program, coast to coast. George Norrie is telling you about how Ahmadinejad is this demon. And this is how it all starts. They demonize with lies against our interests to sacrifice further your lives left undefended.
Well, Sean, you know as well as I do, Ahmadinejad didn't say that.
Right.
He said something to the effect that the Zionists would vanish from the pages of time.
Right.
That nature. But they spin it around and they say that it's, you know, basically going to blow up Israel. You know, and that's all to further their agenda.
Right.
Part of the problem is that Americans, and Canadians for that matter, they don't know how to speak Farsi or Arabic.
Exactly.
They don't know what the translation is, so they leave it up to the so-called professionals, the trusted professionals, to translate for us.
Right.
Herein lies the problem. Yeah, go ahead.
Great. Well, exactly. But you can't, this was July the 10th, 2008. We cannot accept that he brings an expert on a national radio program, doesn't take any open line calls, and tells us this is what the interpretation is, when there's like literally hundreds of articles on this very specific topic on how he's being demonized unfairly. Now, I'm not saying they're paradise there, of course, right? We want to deal with these things equitably and try to meet out understandings that benefit all ourselves, but they're lying to us. They're actively working to deceive us, to kill ourselves for financial profit, because they're all from playing field. They lose. They lose to the patriot. They lose to the constitutionalists. They lose to those who demand evidence to form our convictions on any subject under the sun. Bush says we're either with him or blindly, without any evidence to form our own conclusions, or we're terrorists. Wrong. He doesn't have the mind, and we shouldn't accept it blindly. We need to demand, as I'm trying to get happening. I'm trying to get listeners, not the radio host, I'm trying to get listeners to demand open debate on these issues, particularly, you know, the unarrested culprits that we know for sure. It's the FBI's formal conclusion that this guy financed the terrorist operations of 9/11. He's gone unarrested because he's a friend of Tommy Franks and Bush and Cheney and all these boys. It's not a coincidence that he's there working on the strategy 2 days prior, and then it's sent to the Taliban to inform them that no evidence will be coming against the accused. He's our number one terrorist, and yet it's never mentioned. You know, who's got a concern here for our real lives? Not CNN, not CBC. In Canada, CBC, BBC, they're lying to us. Why are they lying? They lie. I don't know what to do. All I know is I'm getting frustrated over the fact that these people are dying needlessly, but for our inabilities to communicate, these judicial findings that serves all of us well by understanding we got to fight for this, right, or we're going to further fall down dead as innocent victims.
But John, the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of of us in the United States workers up there that are awake. The problem here is, you know, solving the problem, they cannot do that to us, this to us unless we let them.
Right.
And the reason that we let the majority of the public at large lets them is because they're uneducated, because they're constantly fed this Kool-Aid from mainstream corporately old media. You know, and I don't know if it's in Canada, but I know down here is, you know, where Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Fox News, yada, yada, yada. You know, the bottom line is they're not getting the truth. I firmly believe that Americans, if they were shown the truth, told the truth, Canadians, if they were shown the truth, told the truth, I believe that the majority of them would stand up and would do something. I don't believe their nerve and their guts are gone.
Right.
Okay? Maybe their brain is not quite firing on all cylinders, okay? Because they're so bogged down with this Kool-Aid. But the bottom line is, I believe that if they were educated to the facts, that they would make the right decision. But it takes the education to be able to force these people to stop. They cannot do it to us unless we let them.
Yeah, well,
the problem is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to reaffirm what you're saying. But also to understand that it's a one-way communications with the corporate news agenda. We know 86% of Americans believe, you know, with 9/11 has some instances of inside job hinted or whatever. I can't remember what the exact question is. But a huge, you know, the vast majority. And yet you never know it. You never know it by the reflections that the TV say the public is. Oh, I've let somebody at my door. I'm sorry, sir. You know what? I'm going to have to call you back. I seem to have something happening at an urgent... Well, I'll call you back another day.
All right.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Oh, I appreciate your input. Yeah, that was a great call. Guy ought to be a talk show host. Anyway, let me get back to what I was talking about here. Let's see.